This is Katie and Kay Carbondale. Support for Katie and Kay comes from Louis the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Secure, informed, and connected, 970-948-7992. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, in studio with Louis the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going good.
Good.
This new board is just spicy.
It is.
It is spicy.
I'm sure it sounds twice as crisp.
Absolutely.
To our listeners. So the deal is, this is Katie and Kay's Geek Speak, and we are here to help, right?
Yes. Or befuddle.
Or harass. Whatever, or you need. We got it.
You know? Cable jigglings, whatever. Yeah, we got it.
Exactly. We can even give you bad instructions to fix your tech problems. But anyway, our number is 970-963-2976. You can call us. Our operators are standing by. And anyway, and if you don't call, then you can just listen to Matt and I babble on about whatever the heck we want to talk about. So, but we try to make it fun, you know. Speaking of which, in our show prep today, I stumbled across an article about there is a robotics. Gosh darn it! I need to find the article so I can use the exact right words. It's basically an Olympics for robotic athletes. And we don't mean humans that are android athletes. So they're basically
autonomous.
Is that okay?
I think they're. I don't know. Are they corded or are they cordless?
Oh, they're cordless. They're definitely
okay.
Yeah, they're wireless. they're on
wireless
Wi-Fi.
Cordless.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll find the article here in just a second and give you guys a link or let you know where you can go to find it. I found it on Reuters technology page and. It's the video footage is absolutely hilarious, and I feel safe at saying that professional soccer players at this moment in time have nothing to fear. Actually, it may just blow their minds, you know, the way they're kind of like trundling around there. It's a very slow paced game, right? Did you see that? Like that one
goal.
It was not moving very quick.
Rolled
in. I think it was going about 2 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway,
because they don't have the engineering for the what is that one? The what is it? The rainbow crap. What is it? Darn it! I can't think of it now. Oh well.
Let's see. The WRO World Robot Olympiad. Looks like, I think, is what this is called. And so, of course, I'm getting all the cookie messages here and everything. But, I found it RBO, Robo Sports. That's what they're calling it. So it's...
I'm just wondering, like, how hard could you make one of those kick a ball?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean...
You know.
Because they, and I think that's a big part of the reason that their feet are so big.
Right.
Because they got to have a really good firm footing, you know, because those things can't be light. I mean.
No, I'm sure they're quite heavy.
Yeah. And so it's got to have a nice firm footing and it's got to like figure out the counterbalancing and everything to really do a wind up and really boot the ball.
At
2 miles an hour.
Or it has to. Right. Yeah, because it can't calculate. Well, I mean, it should be able to calculate, you know, lean forward and, you know, move the thing. But they weren't doing a very good job of that.
Yeah.
At least for the short video.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah, they're not mantis shrimp.
Nice. So, let's see. Did we talk about Ray Kurzweil last week, last episode?
I don't think so.
No? So, I have been being a musician. The keyboards that I play are made by a company called Kurzweil. Are you familiar with Ray Kurzweil? You know, he was like one of the big pioneers in text to speech and speech to text.
Don't think so.
And he has actually been credited with having some influence into the construction of Stephen Hawking's rig at one point. But Ray Kurzweil is considered to be one of the primary or one of the premier futurists in the world. and he has leveled a what do you call it? He's leveled a prediction that the divide between artificial intelligence and human intelligence will be closed in 2029. And one of the ways that he believes this will happen is through nanobots. In other words, he basically is saying that by 2029, if you choose to take the treatment, you'll actually be able to connect to a Wi-Fi network. Your body will be able to connect to a Wi-Fi network. And therefore you'll be able to connect to the cloud, and you will then be able to assume all of the knowledge, information, technology, skills that is available on the internet instantaneously through these nanobots. So,
oh boy,
you don't look like you're bought into it, Matt. It's like I'm guessing you're not going to go get
not until
the procedure.
Not until it's open source. No. Okay. It's like, I'll run it myself. If I can run it myself, I'll uh-huh. think about it. If I can't run it myself, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't trust other people to.
Well, you know, I mean, whether it's open source or not, but I mean, is it reversible?
That's the other question.
That's the other thing. It's like,
right. Can you turn them off and have your immune system remove them?
And what kind of a hangover would you have if you had gone ahead and made the leap and then changed your mind and had to drink like the anti nanobot cocktail? And you'd wake up the next morning and, whoa, what a hangover.
No MRIs for you, huh?
Like, what just happened? It's like, where are all my millions of friends on the internet?
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 970-963-2976.
Yeah, give us a call. We want to help you fix stuff. Yeah. So, let's see. Yeah. I guess this is. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, I was going to say, I started researching what it would take to use open source tools to do an artificial voice. So
okay.
I'm looking at recording about 400,000 sentences and about 50 hours.
Okay.
To do a very high quality representation
Looks
of my
like
voice.
We have a phone call.
We do.
Where are we here? Mm-hmm.
You're on with the geeks.
Oops, something didn't work. The technology is befuddling.
Oh, where's the directions?
Anyway, let's see. Caller, if you gave up, go ahead and try calling back. Oh, there we go.
You're on with the geeks.
Hey, geeks, it's Donna. How are you?
Oh, yay, it's Donna.
I think I turned the princess phone on by accident. There we go.
Oh.
Here we go.
I want you to know something, Donna. Yeah, can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, we can hear you just great. I want you to know that you missed the best mountain fair ever.
I heard that.
In the whole
wide
world.
I'm very upset about it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's shocking to me because I've been to so many of them, and many of them have been really, really great. But
uh-huh.
What was so good? What was so good about it?
You know, I was actually harassing you.
Oh. I see. Okay.
It was really.
But I did hear. It was fun.
Yeah. Well, it was really good. I was in charge of the Wi-Fi at the park for all the vendors. And,
nice.
Yeah. And last year we were at about 65-70%, and much was learned. And I basically hit the ground running and made a bunch of changes to like the radio placement and stuff like that. And I'd say we're at about 97%. So next year we're going to close the loop on it. So.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, in my own defense, I was at a family reunion that it was a once in a lifetime family reunion.
Sure,
thing, so,
sure.
And it was wonderful. So I'm sorry I missed the fair. I'm glad it went really well.
Yeah.
And I did hear the bands and stuff, especially the last one.
Yeah. I got to listen to that band and they probably the best James Brown impersonator I've ever heard in my life. I know he's not really trying to, that's not exactly what he's trying to do, but he was able to channel James in a big way.
And, wow.
Yeah, it was really, you really realize when you hear somebody emulating James Brown just what a heavy lift that is. You know, he was really just a spectacular performer, and they had all the nuance of it, and it was very good. So,
fantastic.
Yeah. So, are you back on the front range now?
I am actually. Yep. I have a question. I went to a nice birthday party, Matt Harrington's birthday party on the river.
Oh yeah,
and that was really nice to listen to some music. You know, people were playing music. It was really wonderful.
Sure, sure.
That was Saturday, but it was just a quick turnaround trip. But I do have some questions for you guys.
Bring them on.
So. Yeah, so my laptop, unfortunately, I had it in a bag that was not very protective, and apparently it dropped on the corner because when I brought it, opened it up, there's glass and
you got
my
the,
screen in the corner is cracked.
Spider web of doom, yeah.
A little bit, but it's still usable. I'm still using it, but I do want to get a smaller laptop because this one's like 5 years old anyway. It's an old HP Envy. And I know you had mentioned that you like Lenovo. I think, what does Matt like? Asus or Acer? Which one?
Well, it depends on your budget. Most of my business clients, I recommend Lenovo. Some of them have gone to Mac. The one I'm looking at for myself is called a Framework laptop. So,
does it have Windows 11 on it? I need a Windows 11 machine for school.
Yeah, I think it'll come with Windows. I think it'll come with a Windows 11. And the Lenovo's definitely will. And I haven't looked at real closely at Acer or Asus in a while, so I'm not sure where they're at. I think Acer's is still pretty budget. Is still a good bit. They're both good budget friendly options.
Yeah, I just don't want a lot of bloatware. Right, a lot of them have bloatware.
And that's one of the things I like about the Lenovo. ThinkPad series, they come with very little bloatware, if any at all.
Yeah, that's what Louis was telling me. But when I look at, like you said, I see IdeaPads, I see Slims, I see ThinkPads. And then they go, oh, they have Yogi 7, Yogi 7, whatever, 9, all the 5i.
Well, they have they make probably like 60 different laptops with like 100 different configurations each. So it just depends on exactly what each person's looking for.
I know. And all I care about really is I have to use it for school with Microsoft 365 and Quicken.
I would look at the ThinkPad E series.
Okay.
If you're going to go the Lenovo route, they're the entry level ThinkPads, so just bare basic bone laptop.
Yeah. So let me ask you this: the laptop that I have has a 1 terabyte hard drive, and I've used only like less than 300. But I'm afraid if I get a 512, I'm going to run out of space pretty quickly. So, wondering if I should get another 1 terabyte. And then they start getting up to the $700, $800.
Yeah, that's one of the – yeah, between memory and extra storage, that's where they make their profits if you do that from factory. So that's how the numbers are set up. So the basic ones that come with a 256, I think I would guess that most of them are 512s now. But, it just kind of depends on what's going on. With what they think everyone, and that's mostly what corporations are going to buy. They're like, what is a company with 100 users going to buy or 1,000 users going to buy?
Yeah,
that's
right.
Kind of the focus.
Yeah.
So, well, but like I said, their E-series ones is the one I would look at. It's the entry level one. If you want to go one up from there, the T-series has always been great.
Okay, that one's a little higher. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So so it's gonna be they're gonna choose a little more premium things, but not to say that the E series is any slouch either. But they're just the T series is a little more of a premium market target, so they're in that $700 or $800 range. Okay. So it just kind of depends on what you wanna if that extra price is worth it for you or not. And if you're just doing word processing, bare basic is fine.
Yeah, and Louis, have you used the ThinkPads or the IdeaPads? I don't really want the, two-in-one, right? I don't need.
Yeah,
to convert to a pad.
Yeah, because you don't need the carbon, the X carbon, or the yogas.
Yeah. Yogi. But, yeah.
Yeah. But if you catch them on sale, you catch them on sale. So it just kind of depends on what's available now. And there's probably going to be a little bit of stuff going on with back to school. So people might be looking at the E series and the T series a little bit more.
Yeah. I can say that I own one PC laptop and it is a ThinkPad. It's a few years old, but it has been just a rock star. It's, I think the only problem I've had with it, it's probably, my own fault is that I had a problem with the battery go bad and it's probably a result of me leaving it plugged in all the time. Which I constantly preach at people to not do.
Or you have to replace the battery.
No, I'm paying the price, you know. So, yeah, I don't know if you know, but Lenovo's heritage is it was originally the laptop division of IBM.
Right. And what they've done is they've kept the – so they've moved the manufacturing to their own thing, but they've kept the IBM support out of Georgia. So – So my record on an RMA to Lenovo is under 3 minutes.
Oh, wow. So really?
I called them and said, yep, I tried that. Yep, I tried that. I tried that. I tried that. The gal's like, what's your information? And I told them my email address and they pulled my information. And they said, we'll have a box out to you tomorrow. So,
wow.
So that's one of the reasons to do ThinkPad is the support is top notch.
That's on the ThinkPad, huh?
Yeah, that's a special support number for the ThinkPad branded devices.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I see. Last question for you. I don't see those at Best Buy. Maybe they are at Best Buy, but
Lenovo's.
I don't see them at Costco.
They're not selling.
They have Lenovo's, but I don't see a ThinkPad.
Oh, okay. Yeah, got it.
Yeah, because they do other brandings, and I think the IdeaPads are also covered under that.
Very similar. Yeah. Yeah.
I do see idea pads. Okay.
So one of the things they do have them.
Yep. Yeah.
So one of the things that Donna and I talked about when we talked a few days ago about this is that this is to educate our listeners a little bit. There is a kind of an emerging scam, and I'm sure it's probably been going on for a while, but it's just kind of finally come onto our radar. And there are individuals out there because, when you buy from Amazon, you can either directly buying from Amazon or you're buying through a seller who is registered and selling through Amazon. And what's happening is a lot of these sellers, the individual sellers, not Amazon itself, but these individual sellers are going out and buying, big lots of laptops or whatever from big box stores. And they usually go with like the more high performance machines. And then they go in and they take out the memory chips and they put in the cheapest memory chips that they can find. And then they sell the name brand memory chips that were in them when they originally were purchased. And the problem is the machines just blue screen like crazy. They're so unstable. And I actually had two customers get burned by this within a month of each other. So I guess my best advice is that if you do decide you want to purchase from through a seller through Amazon, but it's not actually Amazon, that you make sure that they have a really strong seller reputation. And and I guess the same thing with eBay as well.
Well, so eBay's pretty good about if it doesn't match the description, then you pretty much get a refund.
Yeah.
But you have to read the description carefully.
Yeah. But the problem we had was, we did finally get an RMA on one of them, but we chased the seller around for 3 weeks to finally, to get him to answer his phone. He wouldn't return an email, wouldn't answer his phone, and finally, I guess caught him at a weak moment and picked up the phone and we got it taken care of. But nonetheless, and the other really toxic part of this problem is that the minute that seal gets broken and they go in and replace the RAM, then technically, as far as manufacturer warranty goes, the warranty's voided. So, and how you can sort all that out if you did need to get help with from the manufacturer, I have no idea.
Right. Are they going to sell you the OEM parts at a substantial markup.
Yeah, they're gonna tell you, well, you should have bought it from an authorized dealer, shouldn't you?
So, right, they'll come back and say you didn't buy it from an authorized dealer. Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, just wanted to cover that ground so our customers, we do our best to protect our listeners as far as, you know, the scams that are out there floating around, and that's one of them. So.
Wow, that's scary, man.
It really is. It's pretty inventive, though. I mean, they're very creative. I mean, you know, the angles that they take. And anyway.
Mm-hmm. So, one more question. Have you used like a 14-inch laptop? Are they, I mean, they seem so small, but.
You know, I had a 13 years ago, and I mean, I think we talked about this. It's like, you know, unless they come out with some miracle thing to make my eyes better, I'm going to be sticking with the 15 or larger.
I know, man. At home, I have it plugged into my big screen all the time. But anyway, this is all really good information.
Yeah.
So, I think I can probably get away with 512. Yeah.
You were still in the Valley. I still have the same laptop from when you were here running a business. So it's 10 years.
Oh, my gosh.
I have a Lenovo P50. And so it's 10 years old, has 64 gigs of RAM, and that's my main laptop.
If I'm not mistaken, it's not running a Microsoft operating system.
No, I have not run Microsoft on it since, like, 2019.
So that's probably why it's lasted so long, right?
And it's a tank. So.
Yeah. All right.
I'm telling you, man. Okay, well, very good. Thanks, guys.
Well, thank you, Donna. Have a great week, okay?
Thanks, you too. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right. You listen to Geek Speak. We still have a few minutes. 970-963-2976. Get your speed dial going. Give us a call, and we will help you fix it or give you a radio version of a dumb look. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to get a newer machine from Framework. That's kind of that's one I've been eyeballing.
Uh-huh.
So it's a completely modular computer system. So you can basically get a RISC board or a RISC V board for it, or you can get an Intel board or an AMD board.
I was going to ask you about that. I was just looking at the specs on that machine, and I'm like, I'll bet you he likes it because he can like use a non Intel processor or non, you know.
Well, and it's modular, so it's like if you bust your screen, you just pop the screen off, put the new one on, or if you want a better screen or whatever, you just it's all easily replaceable. You can reconfigure your keyboard if you want to. If you want a 9-key, you can have a 9-key. If you want a, so I was just looking at that. Or if you want like, you know, 4 US or USB-C ports or just one, or so you can just choose whatever you want with it, which is kind of slick.
You know, as a guy that makes his living fixing broken computers, I don't think that's a great idea. I'm just saying, man.
But there's still plenty of people that go, if you replace the module, and you go, yeah.
But do they make it really easy? You don't have to like pull any rubber things off of the screws, or
didn't look too bad. I do want
to. You don't have to watch 2 hours worth of YouTube videos to find out how to take it apart.
No, I don't think that's the whole point. Nope. And then when you decide to replace your motherboard, you take your motherboard out and you put it in a little case and turn it into a little desktop machine.
Oh,
so it's all like I said, it's all modular. Or if you want just a desktop machine, you could get the little laptop board and put it in the desktop case and use it as your home machine.
Okay, I'm going to be looking into this.
It's slick. And then, like I said, then I think they have Intel, AMD, and what's the other one? Deep Compute.
Okay.
Right.
I was betting that you're going to say ARM for sure. You know, but
I'd have to see if they have an ARM. I don't know, but one of the RISC-V vendors has chosen to make a laptop board for it, and it looks like it has, you know, like an 8-core processor and 64 gigs of RAM. So,
got it. Wow,
pretty slick.
Yeah, that does sound pretty cool. So, well, hey, I'm looking at an article right now about how the dubbing industry is using AI, and they're basically acing voice actors out of work. What a shock. So
I watch some YouTube videos where I'm pretty sure they use an AI voice, and it's not there yet.
Yeah.
I mean, the stories are good, but the every once in a while, like dot.
Yeah.
Like a period dot. Yeah.
Punto. you know, I, I listened to some podcasts, and one of the podcasts has a series of ads and a voice actor that I swear to God, the ChatGPT prompt was, or whatever the prompt, you know, for the voice that they came up with was, you know, come up with a voice that sounds a lot like Sam Elliott, but not quite, because it's got this like really, you know, like the kind of that deep, you know, undertone that Sam Elliott has.
Right,
that
and then
just,
a little,
you know,
little bit of a drawl, but
yeah,
not
oh,
as
there's
much.
Definitely a little bit of a drawl. And I'm sitting there listening to it, and I'm going, man, it really sounds like Sam, but not quite, you know? So it was.
He recorded that when he had a cold.
Exactly. it's like they toned down the drawl a little bit or something, you know. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't quite hitting it on all cylinders. But I'm just gonna say, you know, they need to get a handle on this because we can't be. I'm advocating for all the creative types and performers out there that. It's going to turn into a sanitary society if we, you know, start using.
Well, everything's going to be like, well, I'm going to go see it live, so it's not a computer.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other.
Which
side.
Actually, that might not be bad.
So. Yeah. So I'd just be curious. It's like, are people going to move more to consuming AI, or are they going to be like, well, let's get out and go to the park and listen to the music.
There you go.
You know, what's the? I guess that's the choice that has to be made.
Yeah. All right.
All right. You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Thanks so much, Matt.
You're welcome.
We will see you
on the 18th.
The 18th. In the meantime, do not touch your knob.